And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your information flow. Yeah, we're working on your information flow, and I've got a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member who's joining me today on today's show. And here's the neat thing about Chris. Let me just give you the interesting thing right up front. Chris has experience buying hundreds of houses. He's bought them, he's sold them, he's owned them, and he did all of it without being a Lifestyles Unlimited member. So the question that you should be asking yourself about Chris is, why would a guy like Chris, a guy that's bought hundreds of houses, a guy that, based on my notes here, still owns 50 of them, why would a guy like that join an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited? I mean, if you've been following the show, you know that real estate, especially the single family stuff, it pays you five different ways. There's the cash flow, there's the equity capture, there's the natural appreciation, there's the principal pay down, there are the tax advantages. All of those things benefit you as a real estate investor and actually produce a better combined rate of return than what you can do for yourself in the stock market. We've proven that on the show time and time again. So the question you have to be asking yourself again is, if Chris has owned hundreds of houses, why join an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited? It's kind of perplexing, right? Because you would think that he has accomplished everything that he's accomplished. So let's do this. Let's bring Chris onto the show. We'll let Chris answer that question, because I want you to understand what's going on in his mind. I want you to understand how he is looking at life. I want you to understand how he is looking at his investing journey. And I want you to understand how Lifestyles Unlimited helped him accomplish what he's accomplishing right now. So with no further ado, Chris, welcome to the show. How are you, my fellow member?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Now, did I get any of that stuff wrong, or am I on track with your background?
No, it's pretty close. I've got 50 properties. Two of those are multifamily, and the rest are all single family. And I did the vast majority of those hundreds of transactions before becoming a member of Lifestyles. But a lot of those were flip houses and quick turns, and I was really a part of other groups that focused on that type of stuff. And then when I decided I wanted to become a true investor and a landlord and owning property and building wealth, I realized that's kind of where my group leveled off, and they really didn't have anything for me beyond that. And so I realized if I wanted to continue my education, I needed to find a group that really specialized on true real estate investment, long-term wealth creation, and holding properties as rentals. And that's where I found Lifestyles.
So what was the problem with flipping? I mean, after all, HGTV has made millions of dollars promoting that type of quote-unquote investing. Now, I heard you say that you were looking for an investing program that worked, but a lot of people would believe what you were doing as far as flipping is investing. So do you want to clear the air?
Yeah, that is like, what's a good analogy for flipping? That is like a trench warfare or something, you know.
Ouch.
Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're not. It changes day by day, second by second. It's extremely market dependent, and it's very volatile. You know, you're fighting hard just to get the deal. You're doing a lot of outbound marketing, spending massive amounts of money on outbound marketing to draw in leads. It is a full-time, what people don't realize about house flipping is, it's very little about the flipping, and it's very much about running a sales and marketing business on the front end to find the houses that actually make sense to be flipped. That's probably 80-90% of your time is spent on sales and marketing on the front end. And so it's kind of misleading when you watch those shows. They only show the 10 to 20% part, which is fun. I do love the renovations and, you know, making something beautiful. It's a lot of fun, but that is just kind of the icing on the cake, so to speak. And so that's not really investing. You know, that's running a sales business that if you're successful, you can make money for your time. But there, it's kind of one-dimensional. You know, it's just, and you can lose money too. You can lose $100,000 just as easy as you can make $100,000. So I saw that as a fun business, and, you know, especially for a young guy with a lot of energy, but it's not scalable. So, and, you know, no one, you notice that there's no companies that flip 10,000 houses a month, right? Right. In the apartment business, you see it all the time, institutional money, but it's just a little niche that's fun to play in. And you can make a good living doing it if you're good at it. But it's a very dynamic situation. Like I said, it bullets whizzing around. You're constantly reloading. It's trench warfare, man. You are really earning those dollars.
So Chris, when you were doing the flipping thing, how many assets did you have in your possession at any given time? So in other words, what I'm looking for is, did you own a total of 2 at any given time, 5, 10, 100? How many did you maintain in your inventory at any given time?
Well, I would say usually it was pretty small. It was 2 or 3. However, I did a lot of just flipping the contracts. And so if you're talking about actual taking title and doing renovations, it was small. I never had more than 2 or 3 going. But as far as putting deals under contract, I could have as many as 10, 15, maybe 17, 18 at a time that were under contract to close. And then obviously that was more than I could handle. So I would keep the best ones. And then I would sell the rest of those contracts to other investors that, you know, wanted to buy them and flip them or rent them.
How would you decide which ones were the best so that you could get rid of the rest?
Well, if they were rentals, I was looking for a really sweet spot neighborhood where I thought there'd be a high appreciation. I was looking for the, you know, in flipping, you want price that you buy plus renovations, and then a sale price, you're looking for that spread. Well, that's not the same spread as the price versus the rent. And so on the rentals, I'm looking for the ones that have the highest price versus rent spread. And that was not always the same as the price versus resale price spread. So I was, you know, if I could buy something for $100 and it would rent for $2,000, I liked it. If I could buy it for $100 and it rented for $1,100, I didn't like that. So I'd let those go.
Okay. So you had a model you were following.
Yeah.
How much time were you devoting to all of that? I mean, what was the work hour requirement per week to do that type of work?
Oh, gosh. Depend on how much marketing I put out. You know, if it was a slow week and my marketing wasn't working, I maybe scaled back and was trying to figure out a new marketing method, I could spend 20 to 30 hours that week. If I just kind of hit on gold and it had a new marketing method that was producing results and ramping up and getting leads, it could be well over 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and at all times of the day, Saturday, Sunday, morning, evening, you never, if that $100,000 phone call comes, you don't want to be asleep.
Gotcha. So, I mean, it's kind of like trading in the stock market. If you want the best deals, you've got to be awake.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be focused on the market. You have to understand what's going on in the market. And then you have to be available to actually execute the opportunity when it shows up. Because when it shows up, it's not going to stick around forever, right?
I had a deal where I made $100,000 on a flip, and I almost missed that deal by 2 minutes. I had to run comps while I was talking on the phone to the lady, get in my car while I was talking to the phone, And then I had to go to the bank and make a cash withdrawal, show up at her house, get her to sign a contract, pay her a cash deposit because there were six other people on the way.
Holy smokes.
I mean, it's real time. Yeah, it is.
That's brutal.
Hardcore sales job. But I knew the numbers. I knew the neighborhood. I knew that the price she was asking was way too low. And I was like, I can make money off this. I got to get it. So, but yeah, it's a tough job. You know, it's very much like a day trader. That's a great comparison. Like a day trader from, you know, hour to hour, minute to minute. You've got to be able to strike immediately. And you have to be on. You can't just show up kind of like lazy Sunday. You've got to be prepared to present, to make your offer, to negotiate. You have to have a sharp mind, think on your feet, overcome objections. You know, you like an attorney, you've got to immediately be ready to go. And that might be 8 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, that's a tough job. Yeah, and people don't realize that's a tough job. And then once you get the property closed, well, then it's easy. Then the guys come and rehab it. You know, you call a realtor and you sell it. There's nothing left to do, you know. Not easy, but, you know, that part kind of rolls downhill and the pressure is off. Once you get the first closing and you get it acquired, there's not much. It's pretty easy after that.
So were you working in some kind of industry, some kind of trade in addition to doing this flipping, or was flipping your full-time priority?
Yeah, I actually got a job after college as an employee, a project manager at a renovation company that specialized in working with investors here in Houston. And so what I did was my scouting business on the side while I was working as a contractor. And that was on purpose. I wanted to learn the renovation business with plans to eventually get into more flipping and more renting. And it was something I always loved. The renovation business, my whole life I've been building things and I just love it. So I got into that and I got real deep knowledge of the construction business. But actually, funny story, the last day at that job, I had done a flip and made like $25,000. And my boss told me if I didn't show up for something, I was going to be fired. Something I'd already agreed to take the day off. And I said, well, you know, you can just fire me because I just cashed a check for almost a year's salary. So you can just fire me. It's okay. he couldn't believe it, you know. So that was my last job. But I learned so much, and now we're friends. We've gotten over our hardship. But phenomenal guy. Taught me so much. And, yeah, that's how that one ended. And then I knew that I just had to keep going because I had proof of concept. But I knew I wanted to get out of that grind. Like, I knew I didn't want to spend my life just always on edge waiting for that phone to ring and with the dire fear that I wouldn't get the deal or I'd say something wrong or get outbid at the last moment or be a little too aggressive and over offer and then I wind up losing. And, you know, it's a high stakes game. And I knew that, you know, it's also not the way to build wealth long term. You know, you just get in these chunks and you're taxed at a high rate. There's no appreciation. It's very linear. You know, it's 1 + 1 = 2, and you're fighting for every inch. And so I knew that my skill set would be coming in handy, being able to acquire these deals at discounted prices, and that I'd be able to renovate them for effectively for a lot of times less than what a contractor would charge, because I was being the contractor. And so I knew those skills would be applicable to building a portfolio. And so I slowly just started doing that. When I'd find one that was a good candidate for being a rental, I would call my hard money guy and we would take that property down. Or at one time I had a partner and we would take that deal down, renovate it, put a tenant in there, and then, you know, go flip two. And then the third one would be another rental. So I was slowly building that portfolio along the way.
But at one point, the wheels came off the bus, because at one point, you decided Lifestyles Unlimited had something that you needed. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Chris about that. Stick around.
Life- Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm joined by Chris, and together we're working on your information flow. And it's important to work on your information flow because on this show, we're sharing with you information nobody else will share with you. For instance, if you were to listen to a radio show or a podcast about flipping, they wouldn't tell you the things that Chris is disclosing to you on today's show. And the reason they wouldn't tell you this information is because it doesn't fit their narrative. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we believe in giving you all the information. We believe in painting the picture so that you can see the entire picture. Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. And Chris, you eventually saw the entire picture. You eventually got to a point in your investing strategy where you decided flipping was not sustainable. So what happened? What caused you to transition away from what you were doing and migrate to what you are doing now, which is buying apartments after becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited?
Yeah, well, it was always my intention. I had been listening to Dell on the radio for a long time. Probably in the very beginning, I found Dell. I think my dad told me, oh, you should tune in the radio. There's a show about what you talk about. And, you know, and I was always interested in that. And of course, I read all of the reading from Kiyosaki. And so the bug had been planted. It was definitely part of the original dream that I would own real estate, multifamily specifically. And it was actually going to Lifestyles. They had suggested some classes at the Houston Apartment Association, and I had taken them and gotten some plaques on the wall. And it was my hard money lender, my private money lender, who saw those plaques and laughed. And he said, why do you want to become a leasing agent? What are you going to school for that for? I thought you wanted to invest. It was kind of funny. And I explained, well, I do want to invest. I just want to learn what they know so that I can be a better boss. And he said, oh, so you want to buy apartments? I never knew that. He said, you should have told me a long time ago. My banker has about 30 foreclosed apartments. We should go talk to him. And that's when things took off.
I mean, that was music to my ears. I mean, when did that happen?
Yeah, that was 2010, 9, 10, 11, 12. And simultaneously, you know, I realized that I had the skill set to flip, but I didn't really have the skill set to rent, and I wasn't getting the full education from the radio shows. I needed to become a member. I needed to get in those rooms, and that's when I found how much detail that the classes were really getting into, and a whole lot of the stuff I learned about rentals, it's not common sense. It's not that hard, but there's just rules. You got to know the rules of the game, and so I was simultaneously educating myself at Lifestyles and Houston Apartment Association and preparing myself for that big day because I knew I was going to need a different knowledge base and a different skill set to go in and operate these rental properties. And so I was picking up things along the way and tools and knowledge and experience as well. And also kind of ramping up my workload, because not only am I taking those calls from property owners and sellers, and I'm also dealing with tenants and, you know, all those issues and leasing calls. And so, you know, as I built this rental while I was flipping, you know, it was starting to lean on me pretty hard, and the phone kind of got to where it would never stop ringing. And I think one day I had as many as 250 phone calls at the height of it all. And I was,
holy smokes,
leasing multiple properties, selling multiple properties. I had little signs all over the, you know, and yard signs everywhere for rent.
Are you the bandit guy? Are you the bandit sign guy in Houston?
I can neither confirm nor deny. However, I have paid fines and pleaded no contest. So luckily,
I think I need to advise you to take the fifth right now. Yeah,
I've been there, but Zillow works a lot better now. You know, yeah. Now it's kind of the opposite. Like, you put out signs, nobody really looks at them, but you put it on Zillow, man, and gee whiz, they jump out of the woodwork. Thankfully. Because that's
thankfully
a much better system. Yeah, it's way better. Less fines, and it doesn't cost as much, and you're not trucking around, hopping intersections, sticking these things in the grass, you know. So, yeah, that was a game changer, really, when Zillow came out. And so really the game changer, the big one that we should talk about, is when I finished that conversation with the gentleman, and we went to the bank and we had lunch with the banker, and he gave us this PDF and he said, well, here's all these properties. You should buy one. And, you know, he said, I don't know who this kid is. I don't really like him very much, but if you're in this deal, I don't care about him. It's fine. He can be in the deal with you. But, you know, basically my lender had a relationship with that banker and I did not. But since I had a relationship with his client, he was willing to do the deal, you know.
Nice.
So it's
about who you know.
Totally. And not only who you know, about how you treat them.
Yeah.
And you know, building that relationship of trust and competence. Not only that, I'd help him with some of his flips and his rentals from time to time. And so he knew that I was very diligent. I was a very hard worker. And he had a high degree of belief in me that if we did something together, that I was going to do everything I could to ensure that it was successful, you know. And I fostered that intentionally with him for this reason. And I do for with everyone that I work with. But in specific, I knew that having this type, this caliber of partner could eventually benefit me and benefit him. And we wound up buying the 70-unit property in January of 2011 and hiring staff to run the place. And suddenly I went from 250 calls on my worst day to maybe two or three calls on my worst day. And most days having no calls at all. And oftentimes just checking in little by little with the manager and the maintenance and just getting good reports that everything was going fine. So, you know, I had just maybe tripled the size of my portfolio with that deal and cut my workload down to almost a negligible amount. And it was an unbelievable epiphany that you think, well, you're going to buy three times the property, you're going to have three times the work. But that was not the case. We had a budget with that property built in when we bought it to pay for that manager. It was part of the, you know, we didn't do that with the houses. I did that, you know, assuming that I would work for free. But not so with the multifamily. That was a budget that was built in with the offer price. You know, we built that into our offer that we're going to pay so much for maintenance and a leasing agent and a property manager. And that's built into what we're offering you. That was just huge, that epiphany that, you know, it was like Christmas come early. It was hard to believe at first, and I wound up trying to micromanage a little too much in the beginning, I think just because I didn't believe that it was true.
That's probably one of the most difficult challenges that every Lifestyles Unlimited member faces, is that transition from go, 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 to I got nothing to do. And then you feel guilty about it, right?
Yeah, you do. And that's the funny part. You feel like you should be working just as hard as your employees. And there's like something noble in that.
What's the biggest takeaway that you've experienced once you migrated away from being a professional flipper to being a professional real estate apartment owner?
Ooh, I mean, depends when you ask me that question. You ask me that now, and I'm going to go to my personal financial statement and I'm just going to go, wow. Like, some of these properties have quadrupled in value. And I mean the big ones, you know, Like, that's unbelievable. When you start talking about properties worth $1 million, quadrupling in value, it's just unbelievable. And that's not really due to much more than just the financial system and how it works. That's not me quadrupling my effort, if that makes sense. That's
yeah,
the property
totally makes
appreciating
sense.
All on its own while I'm sleeping. And another thing I love is, like, I think I make an over $100,000 a year just in debt pay down from the tenants. Like, you don't even see that. You forget that you're doing that. It's like, whoa. Yeah, it's just a principal pay down. And then the cash flow. You know, I used to cash flow $1,100 a month on my four properties when I first got in. And now the cash flow is in the hundreds of thousands per year. And it's just, again, none of that is really due to me. That's just because we refinanced a few properties when rates were low, which it's not very hard to do, and the rents keep going up. You know, a lot of the rents we have are double what they were when we bought these properties. But the mortgages don't double. They go down. You know, you pay them down, and then you refi. So if you ask me now, I would say, looking at the numbers, it's mind-boggling. And that is money that comes really as a result of me not doing any work. That's probably the biggest takeaway.
There are people listening to you say that, and they think you've absolutely lost your mind. They want to have an intervention for you. They want to help you because they know that what you used to do as a flipper, that's the way you make it in America. But you found a different way, didn't you?
Yeah, somebody told me one time, when you get out of the whatever game you're in, the flipping game or the hammer and nail game or whatever, and you get into the money game, everything changes. And I didn't really understand that at the time. But I really do now, in high definition, I see it. It's an incredible reality that the money starts to make money for you. You know, and I've even done things like, I've got a bunch now that are paid off, rental properties, and I've even taken a line of credit on some of those. And then I'll take that line of credit out and lend it for twice what I have to pay the bank, make a little arbitrage. Some of those deals have been extremely profitable, not all the time, but there's just little plays you can make. You can take the equity out of one rental and go buy three more rentals. You have staff that can help you. That probably would have been my epiphany early on, is that doing this business is so much easier with staff. I even had someone at one point that was going out and doing what I used to do with the flips. They would go out at whatever time the phone call would come. They would negotiate, make an offer, contract the property, and I would just get an email. Hey, Chris, got this house. It's worth $150. Locked it up for $70. Here's the contract. You know, give me my $2,000 commission. I'm like, whoa. So the leverage of really owning a business instead of being self-employed, it's unbelievable. And it doesn't come without problems and challenges. But problems and challenges exist in every, you know, self-employment or owning a business. So why wouldn't you want to do the one that was much less problems and much more high leverage, allowing you to have your time and think through problems? And so that's what I did. It was just a fascinating revelation at the time when I hired that first property manager and my phone stopped ringing. It was like it went broke. Like it something was wrong with it. It wouldn't ring anymore. And that to me was unbelievable. The peace of mind, be able to sleep in if I wanted, travel to Europe if I wanted. That was like, I felt like a rock star had landed. It was just, wow. That was the first epiphany. The second one is the financial power of investing in real estate, and how strong that power really is unreal, unbelievable how much money you can make just by owning the stuff and managing it properly. It's crazy. Everything came true.
Yeah, I got the same result. Just by doing what he created 35 years ago, changed the trajectory of your life. I changed the trajectory of my life. We both came from a different place. We're both of different age groups, yet we both applied ourselves to what Dell teaches us to do. Mm-hmm. And holy smokes, look at the results.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a little scary at first, you know, because in America, we're very traditional about go to school and do this and get a job and, you know, be the safe path. It's almost like an institution or a religion to, you know, just go to college and make good grades and do all this stuff. And so doing this kind of thing where you're really creating your own bill, it's a little weird at first. It's a little, you know, it's a little scary at first because you're like, well, but if you have good support, it takes a lot of that fear away. But man, golly, so worth it. I can't imagine had I gone the traditional route and become just a guy working for a check and something that's okay and moving along and getting a little bit nicer car each year. Man, I can't believe I don't, and I'm not a super rich guy or anything, but boy, I've built a life that I love. And the activities and the hobbies and the people and the stuff I get to do is exactly what I had hoped my life would be like at this age, you know?
How many hours a week do you feel you legitimately work? I mean, like actually do physical work on your assets. How many hours a week do you think?
In most cases, I would say 15 to 20, something like that, maybe a little bit more. And then in certain circumstances, if I'm going to do a big renovation or a big refinance or a big property tax protest, then those numbers can go way up. But it's only when I want to do something. But, you know, a typical week, 3 days at the office, 4 hours a day, maybe four days at 5 hours a day. It's as much or as little as I want, but I don't need to be there. It's mainly because I'm enjoying it and I got little projects I want to do. And, you know, like I did a big tax protest this year and saved just massively increased my cash flow by doing my own property tax and being really, really aggressive and coming with lots of evidence. And that alone made me increase the cash flow of $73,000 this year. So I mean, I spend a lot of time on that, you know, but it's fun. I enjoy doing that. I mean, fighting the good fight, you know, fighting the tax man.
There you go.
Using the system,
just
you know,
keeping what's yours.
Yeah, keeping what's yours.
Yeah.
And I didn't get anything incredible. I just got the values back down to where they were before they started jacking them up, you know, back in COVID.
Yeah.
However, the savings, you know, that's $6,000, $7,000 a month in cash flow. And I'm not done yet. I've still got to go to arbitration and finish the job. I anticipate that I'll probably have $10,000 a month in new cash flow after I finish in arbitration. I've still got a few accounts left. But, you know, so when I'm doing stuff like that, you know, I can work some late nights and some long hours. But just the day-to-day, you know, of course, I could hire that out for somebody else to do. But, you know, my micro.
Yeah, but I heard it in your voice, Chris, man. You like doing that stuff. I heard it. And I know everybody on the radio heard it too, because your voice peaked up. You're like, oh, I'm going to do this tax protest and I'm going to make $10,000. And I'm like, you go, dude, because, you know, that's how we do it, right? I mean, that's how we roll.
Man. There was a buzz around the office for months because they were helping me compile and copies and files, and I mean it was like a team. It was like we were all going to the Super Bowl, and there was of course bonuses for people who participated, and
oh yeah,
you know, it was a big thing, man. And I smoked them on one of my properties. I got them from $4 million down to 1.5. I mean, I just smoked it, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where'd you learn how to do all this stuff?
Well, my dad was a property tax consultant while he was an appraiser, so I learned this at about the age of 10.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're cheating now.
Well, okay, now that you mentioned cheating, I do have to say that ChatGPT prepared most of my legal briefs and legal arguments on Texas Tax Code 42.26. But I delivered those arguments in the hearing, and they were effective.
And it worked.
I did cheat a little bit. AI was a big help, but the big strategy was just some simple advice from my father. He told me what to argue and what to go in with, and of course, experience from previous years when I've done it. I've learned a lot, but I did a lot of research, a lot of legal research, that's fun, you know, like going into a big battle and being well prepared and having my everything, my documents in order and my presentation rehearsed, it felt good.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you for being on today's show. I know the listeners have learned a lot from you, and you're a shining example of what it's like to take control over your life, because that's Chris's story. If you want to do what he's doing, you want to do what I'm doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.